Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, how are you doing? What has been going on this past week?
So I used to collect Funko Pops. You know what Funko Pops are. They're those little vinyl toys with, like, the black eyes.
Yeah, like, they have a small body and huge head.
Mm-hmm. I was collecting them a long time ago, and I had like 800 of them, and then I sold it all off because I was like, this is outrageous. I don't need this in my life. Then Funko released a line of Funko Pops that are blacklight themed. I don't know if you've seen them, but you know, if you shine a black light on them, you see blacklight posters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they look like that, and they've done one for the Marvel heroes. So there's a Doctor Strange, an Iron Man, a Thor. They did Kate Bishop with the dog, with the pizza dog. So I bought a few of those, and now I'm like really into them. I'm making like a display cabinet where I'm running some black LED lights through it. But I'm like, damn it, Funko, you drawn me back in. Like, I was out, and now I'm back in. So yeah, I've been collecting those blacklight Funko Pops, which have gotten expensive. Like, collecting is expensive, I feel like, at a certain point, always.
I think any kind of collection, unless you're just collecting, like, random things you find on the street or something to that effect, any kind of collection is going to wind up costing you a lot of money. I think George Carlin used to have a joke where he was like, I don't have hobbies, I have interests. Hobbies cost money, interests are free, which I think that's it. Like, any hobby you have is going to cost you a lot of money.
This is true. It's and I'm hoping that I'm not like gonna be like, well, this was like an undertaking of too much, because I don't know, right now I'm really into it. I started working on my display case, so like that's cool, because I'm like sawing things and working with wood, feeling very manly doing all these things. But hopefully I'm in the process of redecorating my office area, so I'm taking like posters down, and I don't know if you have this problem, but anytime I go to a convention, I buy a ton of artwork from like the artist area, so I have a whole bunch of those framed behind like in here. I'm taking all those down to make, like, to just freshen things up and change the flow of the space.
Nothing wrong with that. To answer your question, I think anytime I go to a conference, I buy a handful of things, like three or four things that I really want, and then I call it a day. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
I don't know. Well, I've been going to cons, like, for a long time. Many years, but I used to come home with all these prints, all these artist prints, and I put them in my drawer. Every time I'm like, I'm gonna find a frame for this, I'm gonna like frame this eventually. Well, one year I couldn't open my like the drawer under the drawer because I had so many prints, it like buckled the bottom of the drawer, so it caught on the under drawer of it. So I have too many art prints. I want to find a way to bind them all together to make like a coffee book, like coffee table book of some kind. So when people come, they can just flip through it and see all the different like artwork I've collected throughout the years.
That would actually be very cool. One little small project that I'm working on it's just a fun thing to do. It's not necessarily like super cool or anything, but I just have a weird habit of collecting a lot of like the little papers you get in fortune cookies.
Oh, cool.
And I just kind of have them sitting in a cup somewhere. And now I'm thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn it into artwork and like pin it in a shadow box or something. So that's kind of what I've been experimenting with now. I'm not a super artsy person. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'll have a very rough vision of what I want it to look like in my head, but I don't have like the mindset or the ability to actually execute it and make it look like that. So it's always a fun little issue to deal with. Just like, oh, yeah, this does not look at all like what I envisioned.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a Simpson fan you are, but there's an episode where Homer is trying to build a grill and he like finishes and he's like, oh, that looks nice. And then it zooms out because he was looking at the box and he's like, why doesn't mine look like that? I feel that way with a lot of projects I start.
Yeah, I have done that so many times where I'll see something on YouTube or whatever, and I'm thinking, oh, I can do that. How hard could it be? And then I wind up realizing, like, no, I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's true. People who make YouTube tutorials, I always feel like they're like in the best case scenario for doing whatever project they're doing. And then when I try to do that project, it's like, oh, a weird gust of wind came in my room. I don't even have an open window. How did it blow this thing? Like, it's like everything that could go wrong has gone wrong in this project.
Yes, 100%. That is my experience too. Other things, like there are things that I'm good at. Like I can bake pretty decently. Most of the things that I attempt, if I'm baking something basic, it'll look good. If you're looking for presentation, that kind of goes into the art field and it winds up looking terrible when I do it. But I know with a lot of other people, it's great. But, yeah. I mean, it at least tastes good. Like whatever I make tastes good. It just might not have the best presentation. It might not be plated the best.
Yeah, I think taste is like what? I think taste should be like 90% of what it, and like the look is like 10. But true. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been working. Like, I don't know. Other than that, I don't think I've been up to anything crazy this past week.
Nothing wrong with that. Don't, you know, sometimes I always say sometimes it's nice to have slow weeks versus having like crazy weeks where there's a bunch of stuff going on and you're just trying to figure everything out. Keep your head above water.
Yes, this is true. I don't know. Man, I feel like there's not even a video game I'm like looking forward to playing. Usually I'm excited for something coming up.
I did get my Steam Deck, which was pretty cool.
Oh, yes. Oh, I guess side note. Are you bringing that to Texas?
Yeah, I'll bring it to Texas.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to see that in person. Wait, what games have you downloaded for it?
Quite a few actually. So, well, really just all my old Steam games are on there. So I have like Portal, Stanley Parable, To the Moon, Metal Gear Rising is on there. So I'm playing that. So yeah, there's a few different games on there, that I've been enjoying.
You know what game I just found out was on Steam?
Which one?
I don't know if you've ever played it. It's called Jet Set Radio.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was a Sega game. Wasn't it on a Dreamcast or something like that initially?
Yes, it is the reason I got a Dreamcast. I only played Jet Set Radio. And then I was at a used like video like a vintage video game store, and I was like, I don't know why I said Jet Set Radio, but the guy was like, "Oh, you can buy that on Steam." And so now I own it on Steam. But I wonder if it's better on the Steam Deck because you got the like the joystick, like the buttons and stuff. So,
and it arguably has more power than the original Dreamcast. So,
yeah. Though there is one song. I mean, for people who don't know what Jet Set Radio is, basically you're a roller skating person and you're like tagging graffiti on walls, but you're like fighting against other graffiti teams. And there's cool like DJ music. Like different songs, but for the Steam version, they couldn't get the rights to one of the songs. So it's like,
was it at least a good song or something? Or
I can't. It's like one of the final boss songs, and I can't remember what the song. But I don't remember it too, like the original too much, so I don't miss it. But I was on Reddit. Sometimes I go down that Reddit rabbit hole.
I'm looking forward to getting more interesting games on my Steam Deck here shortly. I'm just still getting used to it and trying it out. I'm waiting to get my Steam Dock so that I can plug it in. I bought myself like a controller universal controller to work out wear on it. So like that way I can kind of, my only real complaint about it is it would be awesome if it were like the Switch where the handles were removable or something. That's like my only complaint about it. But you can just as easily like buy a $30 controller, $25 controller online. That's decent enough to play with. Or if you know you really want to go, you can use like your PlayStation controller or a Switch or Xbox controller on it.
Yeah, man, I really, maybe seeing yours will convince me to get a Steam Deck. I guess you probably have to be in good internet. Like some of the games I play, like the MMOs, I have to be in really good internet. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've been fortunate with having, well, actually this past week has been a little weird with my internet. I don't know if it's like construction or a full moon or whatever, but generally speaking, I have decent internet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering like if I could play New World or Ark like in an airport, like would that internet sustain like a game like that?
Probably not. I mean, maybe. Generally, I don't know. Internet at the airport tends to be kind of weird. Because on one hand, you know, they have a lot of business travelers and stuff. So it's like, okay, we know that we're going to have a lot of people who are going to be, you know, working. But then we also have people who are just going to be killing time because they're on a layover or whatever. And so they're, you know, you have all those things. But then at the same time, it's like, they're not going to spend that. The internet is a free thing. They're not going to spend that much money on quality internet for every person who's in there on a free thing, even if it's like ad generated or whatnot. Now, granted, if you go into like one of the internet lounges or if you have like a membership to like Boingo or whatever, then you can get like some of the better internet, but it's also paywalled essentially. So
I guess what I'm saying, like if Steam Deck is good in a hotel room internet, because I feel like hotel rooms have the worst. I mean, again, I'm not staying at like a 5-star hotel. I'm like at Marriott's and Holiday Inn, like, but I always feel like my internet is just like, I'm always barely out of reach of a router. It feels like the internet's so slow. For me, at least. So if I could play a game, I guess I'll see it when you come visit.
Yeah.
I'll make my decision. Because I've been really, like, eyeing it. Because I travel, so I would love to be able to take my PC games.
Yeah, most of the games I play aren't online. They're console, or they're local games, so it's never really a major issue for me.
Oh, now that you have Steam Deck, maybe we can game more.
We can. Oh, I do have Overcooked on my PlayStation now, so we can play that one day.
Oh, yeah.
Overcooked 2, rather.
The game that makes you yell at each other.
It's a fun game. We played it in Taiwan with some of my friends when we were there because the Airbnb that we had in Taipei had a Nintendo Switch there and a bunch of games, including that one. So,
man, yeah, I definitely want to check out your Switch. And I already told you about the board game. Did we already talk about the board game I got?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, cool. Then I won't re-mention it. I feel like it's been so long since we recorded, but it's only been like a week.
Yeah. A lot of sometimes time just seems to drag on. But yeah, no, I'll be there in a few weeks and see each other and play some games and talk about it later. But right now, let's talk a little bit more about Texas and what's going on with King of the Hill. So this episode, we're talking about Made in Arlen, which is a season 7, episode 22. And it is largely focused on Khan and Bill, which you might be sitting there thinking, like, what do Khan and Bill have in common to where they're going to be an episode that centers around them? But, you know, just wait and see. And it's a funny episode. It's a great episode. And I'll talk about it later. There's something about the episode that does make me really sad, though. We'll get right to it. So we start off this episode, as we start off many episodes, in the alley. And we start off with Bill saying something really weird. Bill's like, do you think I'd meet more women if I changed my name to Tango? And of course, Hank does what Hank does, where he's exasperated and he just responds. He's like, Don't change your name again, Bill, which tells me that he's done it many times, at least once or twice before, if he's saying that. A moving van pulls up, and it's Khan's mom. Khan's mom is there, and looks like she's staying for a while, because the guy opens up the back, and there's furniture, so I guess she's just moving in with Khan, and of course, you know, Min's not happy. It's kind of that stereotypical mother-in-law, daughter mindset, or that trope we've all seen. But, you know, Khan's happy. Khan's ecstatic. He's just a mama's boy. Let's just be honest. Dale's like, huh, never imagined Khan having a mother. I always imagined some kind of pod situation. In Khan's kitchen, Min is cooking, and Lauma, which is Khan's mom, says, you know, she is lucky to have Khan and have, you know, such a good man to take care of her. And she should show him appreciation by cooking properly. And as Khan leaves, Lauma tries to help and it's like, oh, you're not putting in enough oyster sauce. And she says what I would say is her catchphrase, if I may just demonstrate. So she's like, oh, I'm going to show you the right way to do things. Connie shows up, sees that they're fighting, and then she's like, oh, not already. So you can tell that this is just a common thing to where even Connie's like, oh, this again. The next day, Khan is bouncing to go to work. Like, he's happy. Like, not happy about work, just happy that his mom's to send him off there. Like, again, total mama's boy. And, you know, I don't think she really helps because she kind of feeds into that, but she's so exciting. And Lama goes to the dining room and starts cleaning, but she's not really happy. Like, she's cleaning because it's just, I think that's just something she likes to do. She just likes to clean. And it's not making Min very happy. Min is really just not thrilled about it. It plays into, like I said, the old trope. You see it in TV, you see it in books, you see it in everywhere. Like, oh, the mother-in-law and the mother don't get along. Or the mother-in-law and my wife don't get along. That's like an old trope. And it plays into it. But it is kind of nice. And it is, I do like seeing this different side of Khan where he's not like just an unbearable person, but where he's just like he's almost like a schoolboy. He's just so happy that his mommy's here.
Yeah. I love seeing, like you said, this other side of Khan. Like, I always feel like when we get a Khan centric episode, it's always like, the extreme points of, like, either he's super sad or he's like super happy or he's super one way. We don't really get a neutral Khan. And I really love seeing kind of like, the flip side of Min too. Like, now Min is annoyed with what's going on.
Yes. And we had that previous episode where we saw the father-in-law. And it's funny, 'cause we had that trope as well. The father-in-law and the husband not getting along. And so now we're kind of getting the other side. Granted, even though we did that episode first in the chronology of the show, this episode actually comes first. But yeah, so we kind of get that. But it definitely Khan is... I mean, I would definitely say the general was way worse to Khan than Lauma is to Min, but still, it is pretty annoying. I could see why Min's upset, because it's one of those things where, like, oh, you're not doing anything right. You're not cleaning right. You're not cooking right. Stuff like that.
And I also feel for Lauma, because it's also like, I don't know where my place is. You know, like, she comes in here and she's like, where do I guess she's trying to make her way in, you know, like, this is where I belong. She's trying to, like, and that's why she gets on Min. Like, she's like, you don't do it right, so I have to come do it. Just kind of like making myself indispensable in this house. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we go outside, we see Peggy, and she's cleaning, like, you know, their sliding glass window, patio door kind of thing. And Lauma leaves the Super Nuisance Phone's house because I guess she's just tired of dealing with Min right now and needs to get some air. She sees Peggy cleaning, and Lauma criticizes Peggy's washing. And of course, you know how Peggy is. Everything she does is perfect. So she's like, I beg your pardon. But then Lalma points out like how to properly clean. And she just says she loves to clean. She spent 40 years as a homemaker, and like cleaning is just kind of second nature to her. And it's, you know, I feel like it's like how there's people who love to rock climb or love to parachute or love to scuba dive. I think like her thing is she just loves to clean. Like it's therapeutic to her. And she's like, hey, I could be your housekeeper if you want. I won't charge much. And basically she's like, I want to get away from men. And Peggy kind of can agree with that. She's like, oh yeah, I'm totally there. So we see them in the kitchen next, and Peggy's trying to show her like, oh, this is the floor and this is the stove. And Lam was like, yes, this is like many kitchens I've been in before. And she's starting to clean, and Hank walks in and, you know, sees Laoma there cleaning, and he's thrown off and like, what is she doing here? And Peggy's like, oh, she's our housekeeper, and don't worry, she's not costing a lot. That washcloth costs more than she does. We go back to Khan's house, and he's playing the theme for Beverly Hill Cop on his Casio piano, but he's doing it very poorly. And he looks outside and he sees Laoma taking trash out, and she's over in the Hills lawn. So he's thinking to himself, oh yeah, she's getting ready to trash the Hills lawn. This is going to be great. But then she sees that she's continuing to go like towards the curb, and he's like, what's going on? What's happening? Instead, she's taking the trash can to the trash, but then she notices the trash can's dirty. So she lies it down on the ground so that she can clean it. And then Peggy yells for Laoma, and she says, coming, Miss Peggy. And of course, Khan is shocked, and he does his own like, blah moment.
I love that Khan is like, oh, my mom's going to throw garbage on the neighbor's lawn. Like, she's never like, if she came in the episode being all angry, like very Khan-like, making fun of the Hills and making fun of Bill and everyone, then yeah, I'd be like, oh, this feels right. But he's just like out of nowhere is like, my mom is just going to throw this pile of garbage on the ground. But I also would be shocked if, like, my neighbors hired my mother as a housekeeper and I didn't know about it.
Yeah, especially since Khan sees himself as better than everybody else. Even in the next scene where we see him in Khan's house in the kitchen, he's just like, you didn't overcome the communist regime to be a slave in America. You know, Khan's just super mad. And I think, a feeling that if it was like the Wasana songs or something, he probably wouldn't be that upset. But because it's the hillbillies in his neighborhood and he looks down upon them, that's what's really upsetting him.
If it was the Wasana songs, he'd be like, you're gonna make our way in. Like, oh, you are the gateway for us to get, like, don't forget to talk about how good we are. Like, he would definitely be using her, even though she's his mom.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think he's above, like, shelling out his mom to do cleaning and other chores as a way to climb the social ladder and get closer. But because there's nothing to gain for him of having her clean the Hills house, he's just like, whatever. He's not happy. Mm-hmm. In the alley, Hank is talking to the guys, and he's talking about how he doesn't want a maid. You know, he just doesn't want somebody cleaning up after him. Dale's like, well, why not just fire her? Simple solution. And Hank's like, because it would be wrong to fire her, work even more wrong than not hiring her in the first place. So I don't know, I kind of nice, because it shows that you know, Hank kind of has, I guess, some kind of moral compass there. Khan comes by and he is mad at Hank because, you know, he's like, hey, how dare you make my mom work for pennies or whatever, which I guess makes sense, but at the same time she offered to work for cheap, so you know, what are you going to do, Khan? What are you going to do? But the guys all laugh because they are just happy at how angry Khan is at Hank. And Hank's kind of enjoying it, too. In the Hills living room, Hank is watching sports. You know, he's in a more relaxed position than we normally see him. Like, he's not even wearing his shoes. He's in his socks, lying down on the couch, watching football. And Lama comes and Hank's like, oh, you know, he's going to leave because I guess he doesn't want to watch her clean or something to that effect. But Lama's like, oh, don't bother. Like, don't disrupt your flow. I'll just clean and be out of your way and stuff. So she's cleaning, but there's a really stubborn stain. So she's just grunting and trying to get there. And Hank's uncomfortable with this whole process. Bobby's loving everything though, because Lauma brings Bobby a snack to his room, and you know, Lauma's like, "Oh, you know, you're the oldest child, you're the oldest male child, so you need to be taken care of." And you know, she made a Reuben sandwich for Bobby, and Bobby's like, "I wasn't expecting this. I have to sit down."
I mean, I love a Reuben sandwich too. I don't like sauerkraut unless it's on a Reuben sandwich. So I totally feel Bobby. But I always laugh whenever Laoma is like cleaning that rug stain. She's like, ugh, ugh. Like, the sounds make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I kind of get that it's a tough stain, but do you really need to go to that degree?
I think she even is like, this is a tough one. Like, she like is narrating the process of cleaning.
Oh, man. Like, wouldn't you just pre-soak that and then come to it later? Like, I'm not a big cleaner myself, but I feel like that would have made way more sense.
I mean, when she sees a dirty spot, she's like in the trash can, she's got to get to it as soon as possible.
My trash can is probably like the filthiest in the world, because I'm like, who cares? It's a trash can. It's best like an indoor trash can. I could probably see you wanting to clean that up. Like, that makes sense. But an outdoor trash can, who cares?
This is true. I have like rinsed it out because like there were ants in it one time. And I was like, well, we need to take care of this problem. But other than that, I'm just like, it is what, like, trash is supposed to be dirty, right?
Yeah. Like, I could see, yeah, if there's, like, ants or some weird sludge or something, you'll take a hose to it. But I'm not going to, like, take a sponge and give it a good scrub down. So Khan is just furious. And he is talking to Min about this. Min is fine. Min loves it. Like, she obviously loves it because Laoma's gone all day doing stuff. Khan decides to look at the bright side, and he's like, well, tomorrow's mom's day off, so, you know, maybe she can just hang around the house and not, you know, be somebody's worker bee or something. And Min's not happy about the idea, because that means she's going to be at home all day with Min, and Min doesn't want to have to deal with her. So we go back to the alley, and Min's walking out with a little sign-up sheet, and she's trying to get the other guys to sign up for shifts so Laoma can stay out of the house as long as possible. Dale signs up because he's like, you know what? I can use some Asian fingerprints in my house. Min says something to the effect of like, how about it, Bill? You know, are you not attached to the roaches and rats in your house? He's like, no, I just always figured I had to be rich to be clean. And it's funny because like the next scene we go to Bill's house and it is just a mess. And Laoma walks in and she's like, this will take me months. Thank you, Bill. And this is kind of where they cross paths, where it gets bad, because Khan's driving home and he sees that Laoma is cleaning up Bill's house and they're kind of hanging laundry together, which is a weird thing. I wouldn't expect Bill to be that kind of guy to hang his laundry out, but okay.
Isn't, I'm trying to remember if I remember the scene correctly. Isn't the wind blowing like Bill's underwear, like as they're hanging out in her face as Khan's driving by?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's clean underwear, but I think that's also what freaks out Khan when he's like going by. Because I would be upset if my mom had Bill's underwear flapping in her face. Bill's underwear probably never can get clean. I don't care what trick she has.
There's a layer of filth that just you can't get rid of. That is an everlasting layer of filth.
Bill's house is, we've seen Bill's house a few times in the show. And every time it's like the saddest house ever. Like, if my place ever got to Bill's level, I'd be like, I just gotta let myself, like, I need to commit myself into like some program of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his house never looks normal. It's always messy. Things are broken, all of that. Speaking of Bill's house, we go back to Bill's house and Laoma's cutting Bill's hair. And, you know, Bill makes a comment of, I can't believe how many forks you found. Which is just, like, I guess he just keeps losing them and they fall behind couches and stuff like that. Lelma is happy to find something to do other than just be with Khan all day, because, you know, originally she wanted to move to be next closer to Khan, her son, and spend time with him. But, you know, I guess she's just like, you know, there's nothing for me to do when I'm here. And now she's like, oh, you know, I feel like I have a void in my life. And Bill says he feels the same way. And it's clear that they're starting to fall in love. We actually see them on a date in a meadow later. And she talks about, you know, reminding her of like the meadow where her, I guess her husband's buried. And it's like, oh, that's the most beautiful description of a haunted meadow I've ever heard. And they start to make out, but then Bill's worried because he's like, my heart's been broken too much. And she's like, I'll be gentle. Let me demonstrate. So the afterwards, they're in the alley. The guys, Lelma's not there. Bill asks for two seats to a show. And Dale's like, is your ass so big that you now need to buy two seats? He's like, no, I'm taking a date. It's like, you can't take a pigeon to with you. And then Bill raises a scarf that he's wearing to show that he has a hickey. And Hank's like, all right, Bill, well, who is it? And then he says it's Lelma, and everybody kind of spits. And then Dale's like, she's 20 years older than you. She's literally an old maid. My God, she's perfect. Hank asks how Khan feels about it. And it's like, oh, you know, I haven't found a time to break the news to him yet. Khan comes out and he starts complaining about how she got home late. And of course, Khan doesn't realize that there's a romantic relationship. He just assumes that she's staying all night to clean or whatever. And it's like, you work her overtime, and the guys start chuckling and stuff. And then he's like, my mom came home all sweaty and exhausted last night, and they start laughing more. And then Hank's like, guys, be quiet. And then Khan's like, you need to stop writing her so hard. And then they just all lose it when he leaves. Oh, I don't know. I'm glad that Bill and Lelma are happy, and they do, you know, it is a bit of a weird relationship, but they do work for each other though.
I mean, I have a lot of things. Like, first of all, when we imagine Bill in the alley and he's wearing the scarf, don't you imagine he's like wearing a jacket, like he's wearing clothes to match the scarf, but it's basically like the same clothes Bill wears all the time, just with like a handkerchief around his neck, which I feel like no one brought that up in the alley.
That's true. He was wearing just like his regular clothes, his wife beater and his jeans and working boots and stuff. But then he had like a little, not even like a full scarf, just like a handkerchief or like an ascot around his neck.
Oh man. But I do always love, Bill rarely finds love, I think, what, two times? This and another time? Like, someone who really cares and gets Bill. But every time he does find, like, a romantic partner, it changes. Like, he gets way better. Like, he's not as sloppy and as, like, it's just, I mean, I don't want to say a relationship needs, like, someone needs to be in a relationship to fulfill themselves, but Bill needs to be in a relationship ASAP.
Honestly, you see that in a lot of couples and stuff. Like, once somebody gets into a relationship, they're in a better, you know, they're in a better mindset, and they start to take care of themselves and be better. I mean, yes, that shouldn't be the only thing that makes you be better, but definitely it happens to a lot of people.
Oh man, but they're a great couple, and she's going to be really gentle with them, so I'm excited.
Yeah. We're back at the Hill House. Lelma's cleaning the bathroom, and Hank walks in thinking like, oh, I'm going to use the bathroom. But Lelma's like, oh, no, you can go ahead, and I'll just wait out here. And Hank's uncomfortable with it, which I still don't get this, because they have more than one bathroom in the house. So I don't know why he just doesn't go and use the other one. But I guess it doesn't make the scene doesn't work if they don't do it that way. He tries to use it, but then he realizes that she's out there, and he's like, are you standing outside? She's like, yes. Do you require assistance? And he's like, no.
What a great maid, though. Like, that's above, like, above and beyond the duties that you need.
Mm-hmm. Dale's in the alley, and he's talking about how he needs to get rid of his show turtles, because he has show turtles, but he's never put them in any shows. And then Khan comes out and he's like, has anyone seen my mother? And he's like, how do you feel about terrible news? Khan looks over to Bill's house and sees Loma coming out, but they're really dressed up. You know, Bill's in like a suit and she's in a really nice dress and everything. And he doesn't understand what's going on. And then he finally puts two and two together that they're dating and he passes out. And it's funny because nobody really cares. Like Hank's like, anybody want to watch the game? Go back to Khan's house and Khan is really just giving it to Leo. It's like, why not become a bag lady or an actress in a pornographic film? Why not, you know, instead of doing this to embarrass me? But Leoma loves Bill, and Leoma's like, you know, Khan, don't you want me to be happy? I want you to love Bill, too. So they have dinner. Bill is over, and he's telling stories. And Bill and Leoma are just, you know, they're cute together. They're super happy, and it seems like Min's all right with it. Connie's kind of all right with it. It's a little weird, but Connie seems to be all right. But obviously, Khan is just upset that they're so happy, and he just leaves, and he's not happy at all. Talking about full service maid, it's Peggy is completely different person than Hank, because in the next scene, Peggy is literally taking a bath with like a flute of champagne. And while she's there, Leoma's like scrubbing the floor and she's just kind of opining about like, why aren't there aliens or if there's alien life out there and stuff. And Leoma's like, And then now we're in the alley, and now like Leoma's getting so comfortable that she's actually just drinking in the alley with the guys. And Khan is looking out, he's upset, and Min's all right with it, but Khan's embarrassed because he's like, oh, you know, at least I had a genius daughter, and that was like the one thing that I could like and hold over everybody. But then now if I go to work, people can now say like, oh, how are you doing? And how is that six-toed a possum baby that your mom and the neighbor had? Connie is working on a NASA project for school, where she's building a model of the space lander, and she has a replica of Harrison Smith, astronaut turned senator. And Khan's like, why couldn't my mom fall in love with somebody like that? And he comes up with an idea. I don't know. I think I kind of get Khan's concern because he looks down on Bill, but Bill's also, like you mentioned, he's like cleaned up. He's not really that trashy anymore.
It's true. It's like people can't see the new Bill. You know what I mean? Like Bill in a relationship, they always remember Bill at his worst.
Yep. And I'm not going to say it's fair. That is not fair at all. But I get why they do that, because like, if you've seen somebody 100 times and they're always kind of slobbish, and then you see them cleaned up for a week, you may be like, how long is this going to last? Or it may be very hard for you to see past like the 100,000 times you've seen them in a different way. But yeah, I don't know. I still just don't like how Khan's getting upset at this. Khan just takes it to a new level because he goes to Bill's house and they're just chatting, and Khan breaks, quote unquote, the bad news to Bill that his mother has fallen in love with another man. She's in love with Harrison Schmidt, the astronaut, which I don't know. He's lying. I find it weird that he's lying so big, but you know, maybe that's all he could come up with at the moment. And Bill is really hurt, and Khan says, you know, it's only a matter of time before she, you know, left Bill, just like Bill's ex-wife. And it makes me really sad because Bill kind of agrees, which shows me, like, his low self-esteem and how Khan's feet, you know, just punching him emotionally. Khan says, you know, she didn't mention anything to Bill because she didn't want to hurt Bill, so, you know, Bill shouldn't let her know that he knows, but, you know, Bill really cared about her, Bill would break up with her so that she could pursue a relationship with Harrison Smith and be truly happy. And so they have dinner at Bill's, Leoma and Bill, and Bill's sad and Leoma's picking up on it, and Bill breaks up with her and they're both really upset, but Bill thinks it's what's for the best so that Leoma can be with the person she truly loves. And Leoma runs back home, and man, Khan is just like watching it from the yard. And he's like, oh man, what a rush. Now let's break up Hank and Peggy.
I love this scene. Well, I mean, I don't love Bill being broken up, but I love the part where he breaks up with her and he goes to like the window and he sees a full moon. He's like, now you can be happy. Or like, there's a full moon tomorrow. Now you can be happy with someone who's actually been there. Oh, Bill, I know he's not the smartest, but like, you think she's running in these circles?
Yeah, that is a little bit of a weird thing. Like, really, Bill, you think Lauma is chilling with astronauts? Like, you really think she's dating astronauts? Okay.
Yeah, especially because, like, when you think about it, she's either on dates with Bill, at home with Khan, or cleaning the Hill House. Like, when has these dates.
That's a good point.
It is Bill, so.
But you do bring up a good point. Like, when are these dates happening? But yeah, Bill's not. The fact that he fell for such an obvious lie. Like, if he said, oh, there was somebody back in Laos that she fell for, somebody in California, or a guy she met at the library or something, that'd be a way more believable than Harrison Smith. So I guess it just kind of shows how not right Bill is, I guess. In the alley, Bill looks like a mess, like more of a mess than normal. Like, it's clear that he's just dipped into a deep depression, and Bill's trying to cheer him up, and it's like, hey, Bill, think of it this way. You scored with an older chick. Oh, wait, this isn't high school. At Khan's house, we see that Lauma is leaving, and she's getting ready to leave for this retirement home called Pine Brook Acres. And she's like, oh, it's got everything because it's part retirement home and part cemetery. So I guess full service. And, you know, Khan's like, oh, don't go. It's like, oh, I got it. It's just too painful to be around Bill. And Khan's in this weird position where he doesn't want her to leave, but he also doesn't want her to be with Bill. So he's kind of like, lesser of two evils, I guess. You can go to the retirement home, whatever. At the Hill House, Peggy's upset that Lauma just left because, like, now she's like, oh, you teased us with all this great food, and now I'm having to cook for myself, and now there's nobody to listen to me when I just take a bath and opine and stuff. And then Bobby's upset because he doesn't have, like, his little snacks anymore like he did with Lauma. So they both are, I guess it's not just hurting Bill and Khan that Lauma's gone. The next morning, Bill's passed out on Hank's porch as Hank's getting up to, like, pit his newspaper. And Bill's like, oh, sorry, I fell asleep here. This is where we first made love. And then Bill explains the whole reason he broke up with her. Because Hank's like, if you're so sad, why did you break up with her? And Bill's like, oh, you know, she's in love with Harrison Smith, and I don't want to block her from true happiness. And Hank's like, what? Wait, Harrison Smith? Really? And he just kind of moves on. And he's like, well, Bill, just tell her what you feel. At least if she shoots you down, you took your shot. And Bill's like, you're right. And then as Bill leaves, Hank gets his hose and sprays down the front porch. Moving truck is in front of Khan's house, and Khan's upset that she's hurt and getting ready to leave. But then she sees Bill running and yelling Lauma, and now Khan's like, oh, nope, you got to go. Hurry on. Let's get into the van. Then as Bill shows up, Bill's like, I don't care about Harrison Smith. This is what I think. And he breaks Connie's model because Connie just happens to have it out in her hands. And, you know, at that point, Bill talks about how he broke up with Lauma because the Harrison Schmidt, and Lauma's like, wait, what? And that's when she kind of puts together that Khan lied about everything. And everybody shames Khan because he broke them up and made them both hurt just because of his own ego. And then Khan's like, oh, like you wouldn't do it if it was your mom. And then they all kind of, whatever. But then Khan eventually comes around and he's like, oh, I guess it's kind of nice. It's like those dogs that are so ugly that they're almost cute. And the episode ends with Bill finding Lauma.
I love the ending of this episode. It gives me hope, because if Bill can find someone, then we all can find someone. But then that hope is dashed away later in this, like, I don't know. Are we going to talk about how we never see her again?
No, that's exactly what I was going to say at the beginning of the episode. We never see her again. And from to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, I don't think they ever explain what happened to her.
Now, this is... Is this before or after when Heggy... Or Heggy... Oh my gosh. Peggy gets the news column where she writes about the cleaner?
Oh, I think it is... Oh, that's a good question.
Because I know...
I think it's after. I think this is before.
Okay, because she does get... Because Peggy does get cleaning tips from her.
Yeah. Through men, but yeah.
But also in that episode, it seems like they never have many, like, you know, like, Peggy has to get these tips through men, and it's like they never even knew each other existed.
Oh. That's a good point. But yeah, remember, you know how I feel about the later episodes. I feel like a lot of them aren't canon. But because Bystand Me does take place, like, I guess season 10, which is that episode. So, yeah, you're right. There's no mention, like, Peggy never mentions, oh, yeah, I remember your mother-in-law or anything like that. So.
I do think if this episode would have happened, like, season 11 or 12. We would have kept her.
Maybe.
Because I feel like they didn't want to change Bill midway through, like, if they thought they had more seasons left. Because Bill being together with her does change him. Like, he's not gross Bill anymore.
Yeah. And that's usually what they say about relationships. You know, once you start to be happy, you start to take care of yourself and stuff. So, I don't know. Like, it is a very fun thing to not, fun's not the word, but it's nice to see Bill getting happy again. But he, again, it doesn't last, but they don't even give a reason. Like, I don't even think they explain that they broke up or anything.
No, she's just gone. Cause this is, I believe this is like one of the last episodes of the season.
I think there's one more, or there's a few more. Like, season 2 is not... In fact, I think... I don't know that... Are we covering The Witches of East Ireland? I don't think we're covering that episode, but I think they briefly mention... I think they briefly, like, very briefly mention her.
But then, I don't... I think she disappears in the middle of the, like, the break of 7 to 8.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't. We never actually see her again, but we do. She is briefly mentioned.
But, I mean, I like her a lot. I think she's funny. She would have been a great additional character, I think, to the cast. It's just she changes Bill too much, and we can't have that.
And that's probably it. Is like they, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Like, they want consistency or and whatnot. And having a... Granted, I mean, they change characters all the time, you know.
I mean, Luann and Lucky.
Luann and Lucky, Good Hank being born, all that stuff. Like, you know, people's stories change. It's like, why do they need to make Bill always sad?
I do think it's the easy joke. I mean, we all enjoy it, right? A sad Bill.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But still, it's like... Or even, like, for the season finale, he should have found love or something, is what I think. But, I don't know, maybe when they bring it back,
it'll be better. I hope she comes back. Maybe Bill's, I don't know, do you want Bill out of the alley? Like, maybe he can move in with her, but is that too much? He should bring her back, I feel like.
I think she would move in with him. Because she could still be close to Khan, but then not, like, impeding on their family.
Yeah, I love when Khan's like, if it was your mom, and everyone's like, maybe he has a point.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I guess so. You might be right about that. But yeah, this is a good one. This is one of my favorites because we actually get to see Bill happy. I am upset that they casually mention his relationship in the next episode, Witches of East Ireland, but like in a blinking you moment miss if they mention it, and they don't really mention what happened, if I remember correctly. Like, oh, she had wound up moving away, or she moved back to Laos, or we broke up. Like, it just, she's kind of written out of the story, and that's kind of what upsets me the most. But hey, it is how it goes.
Oh man, yeah, this episode is a great one. Oh man, and yeah, we're not. I don't think we're doing the Witches of East Ireland, but if you want to, I recommend that episode. Like a good, like that's a fun one, and I love a Bobby episode. So
Bobby is great. Yeah, maybe we will do that. Maybe we can pin it on at the end or something.
Oh yeah, and it's great because I'm looking at the Wikipedia thing for it too, and I did not know. Well, I knew David Cross was in it because his voice is very recognizable, but I didn't know it had Breckenmeyer and John Ritter in that episode.
I did not know that either. I definitely knew about David Cross because, like you said, he has a very, very recognizable voice. But yeah, I did not realize the other ones.
I'm a big John Ritter fan. I might watch that. I might just tack that on before I go to bed tonight because that's a. I love John Ritter, so it'd be maybe I can recognize his voice if I know I hear it coming. But yeah, I would definitely recommend. Well, maybe don't watch it if we're going to cover it later. Hold on until you listen to all these episodes of this podcast. And if we don't do it, I'll remind you to watch it at the very end.
Or you know what? Just watch it and then watch it again if we decide to cover it.
Yeah, I watch all these episodes like hundreds of times. So they all hold up. Except for that one where... Are we doing the one with the pigs? I don't think we are.
Pygmalion, no. That's like...
That one's weird.
That is like universally considered one of the weirdest episodes, King of the Hill. Like the entire story, the tone.
And it's dark. Weird. It's so dark at the end. But yeah, that's not one I really go back to and have a good time with. But no, the other ones are great. Weird. The other ones are great.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Do you have anything else on this episode?
No, I think we covered it all.
So the next, okay, so next episode, we are actually, funnily enough, doing Bystand Me, which is the one of the other episodes where Laoma is mentioned. So,
did we plan this like a long time ago? Or?
Yeah, we know we made this list like months ago, so it just kind of worked out that way. Okay. All right, well, until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.